Good evening to you all. My name is Neo Budumela and welcome to a special broadcast hosted by the Government Communication and Information System, brought to you by the Department of Social Development and the South African National AIDS Council, SANEC. I'm with you until just after 7 this evening. Today we will be having a discussion about HIV in commemoration of World AIDS Day, which is tomorrow, and the connection between the virus and gender-based violence in society. Now, the connection between the two has been laid bare in a new UNAIDS report called Dangerous Inequalities, which revealed that in areas of high HIV infections like our own, women who experience gender-based violence face a 50% higher chance of acquiring HIV. Joining us on a panel to unpack this very important topic this evening is Steve Litsike and Celeste Madondo from SANEC, as well as Peladi Mamaila and Ntabiseng Mashaba from the Department of Social Development. Welcome to you all. Now, you can also join in on this very important conversation by sending questions or comments to our WhatsApp line on 065-935-55488 or call into the studio on 0800-142466. That is the studio line on 0800-142466 or the WhatsApp line on 065-935-5488. Once again, thank you all for joining us.
Thank you.
Now, Steve, tomorrow marks 35 years of the commemoration of World AIDS Day. This year, it is being commemorated under the theme Rock the Ribbon. Please, could we unpack this theme? What is it about the red ribbon that we are all encouraged to wear on the day annually? And what does the ribbon actually symbolize, Steve?
No, thank you so much, Nao, and really good evening to the listeners. Look, we have history. World AIDS Day first is a designated day every year, 1st December, since 1988. Internationally, the world is dedicating this day to raise awareness on AIDS pandemic caused by the spread of HIV infection. Mm. And we know because many people have died because of the virus. And these are some of the challenges when you reflect and you're saying, why do we need to honor people we lost? And why do we also need to continue observing this day so that we can keep the lives alive?
Mm-hmm.
Why the ribbon? The red ribbon is really about commemoration of World AIDS Day, and it's a signal and a symbol of many people living with HIV that we stand and support for.
Mm-hmm.
But we must know that a lot of it is because we still have globally over 34 million people living with HIV, and of which the highest number of those people living with HIV are here in mine and your country, South Africa. We have over 8 million people living with HIV. So whatever we do, we must make sure that we keep this people alive to honor them, because it's people who are fighting to stay alive. So over 4.5 million people are on treatment. This is again the biggest treatment in the whole world. Program that is led by our own government, for that matter. So we are not holding back because we want to end AIDS by 2030. And 1 December, World AIDS Day helps us to keep the agenda on the table, because we don't want people to die and we want to suppress the viral load.
Now, Steve, what is the theme actually, what is the theme Rock the Ribbon actually mean in relation to World AIDS Day?
You see, the theme Rock the Ribbon, because this was the global call made, where really is about commitment to really stopping the new HIV infection.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest theme of rocking the ribbon and stopping these new cases is prevention agenda.
Mm-hmm.
My brothers, my sisters, our siblings, our friends in communities, we want HIV to really end. By ending it, we need to stop the new infection.
Mm-hmm.
We can no longer take additional cases. We have still over 100,000 new infections annually per year.
Mm-hmm.
Girls between the ages of 14 to 24, 15 to 24, are still incurring HIV infection amongst them, and they are infected by our fathers, our uncles, our brothers in the community. The rape, violence, all of these things that are happening against people. Key population, men have sex with men, sex workers. So when we speak about rock the ribbon, is that securing the rights of people living with HIV becomes the biggest agenda.
Yes.
But that means we need to deal with stigma. We need to deal with discrimination, that LGBTI people should not be discriminated anymore. Mm-hmm. Sex workers, people in churches and so forth. And we cannot leave anyone behind. End stigma, end new infections, but make sure that the people living with HIV in all their diversity, their rights are secured.
Mm-hmm. Now, that brings me to my next question to you, Celeste, about the association between HIV, AIDS, and gender-based violence. Can we talk about what the association is in the context of the sexual violence that we're seeing in women and children in South Africa, Celeste?
So, good evening to your listeners. So, as you know, Steve highlighted that in our country, with the biggest HIV program, we will not win our battle against HIV and AIDS if we do not address the inequalities that exist and the social and structural barriers, of which gender-based violence is one of it. This is increasing the risk of individuals and groups, making it very difficult, even in a context where we have effective biomedical interventions and instruments that we have specifically in South Africa. In addition to that, we know that the intersections exist between GBV, gender-based violence, and femicide and HIV, and these are both bidirectional. And these effects, we see it specifically and more so among adolescent girls and young women, as well as among other key populations. It impacts the ability to access services. I'm saying that it's bidirectional. So people that are HIV positive can also experience gender-based violence, therefore not being able to access services, access treatment, and also experience gender-based violence. Mm-hmm. And on the other hand, individuals that are experiencing gender-based violence do have a risk of then contracting HIV, again, mm-hmm. Being unable to access services, mm-hmm. As well as being dependent. We see the financial dependencies, mm-hmm. but these are all given the society that we live in. Mm-hmm. You know, South Africa is largely patriarchal in nature, with social and gender norms that are not always positive, which determine the relations that we have between men and women. Mm. Many women are still unable to assert their rights in relationships, including negotiate condom use. So for many years, we've seen that the programs that we have try to address social construct and inequalities in gender, but they focus only on women.
Mm-hmm.
And they miss the point that gender is not about only women, but it's men and women and how they relate within society.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, for us to succeed, we need to have both of them at the same table to address the intersections, intersections that we see between HIV and GBV.
Do you see that gender-based violence, because it's so prevalent in South Africa, do you perhaps think that maybe it has created a fertile ground maybe for these new infections, like you said, because of the lack of power that women are facing in society?
Definitely, it is fueling the epidemic. Definitely. South Africa is one of the countries with the highest GBV rates that we see. And even when we look at the hotspots around the country, GBV hotspots, including your HIV hotspots, you can see that the number of infections are higher.
Mm-hmm.
And the intersections and intersectionalities have clearly been defined by multiple partners. And it was further then highlighted again this year at the second GBV presidential summit,
mm-hmm.
That further emphasized the need for us to work more collaboratively together in an effort in to address the interlinkages between GBV and HIV. Focusing on inequalities, having people-centered approaches that allow us to focus our efforts in reducing both these epidemics at the same time.
Now, to join us on this conversation, on this very important conversation, please send your comments or questions to our WhatsApp line on 065-935-5488. That's our WhatsApp line on 065-935-5488. Or call us into the studio on 0800-142-466. 0800-142-466. Now, turning to Mepaladi, on the role of the Department of Social Development, what role is the department playing to ensure that the reported cases of GBV are attended to accordingly and or lessened? And are there contact details for members of society to contact if they have such a problem? Mepaladi.
Okay, Kalebo Habaretsi Wabuanke Peladi from Gender Based Violence Command Center, more National Office ya Social Development. Department ento e dirileng hore re khone go bona hore di cases tsa gender based violence di a attendiwa. In le go berekisana le di office tse dingwe tsa SAPS le bo NGO NPO, they come together and they form this gender-based violence command center e ileng hore ba bona hore e bereke 24/7 mo ileng hore re lebeletse hore ka nako tse tsa o thoma ka 4 di social worker go di office ntse ding ba tswaletse, and then the people they need assistance, they need to report this case of GBV bianong rena re available 24/7 mo ileng hore rena le department e dirile gore di social worker tse di nteng ko gender based command center di bulela di language tso tsotlhe tse di leng teng mo South Africa gore le ge client e ka founela ko GBV e re ke bolela ka cause a kry social worker e tlo mo understandang e mo thuse ka leme la gago, and then office tsa rena di ke 24/7 a gona gore ke bosu. Most of the cases tsa GBV it happens during the night. Then o kry le gore bane ba re founela maphodisa, and then re berekisana le ona maphodisa, re berekisana le command center ya SAPS e leng ko Joburg. Ke yone e re thusang gantsi gore linka le most of the SAPS police station tse di le mo. O kry le gore number tse dingwe tsa police station ga di sa bereka or di offline. Then when we communicate with the command center ya SAPS, then we are able to link our client le SAPS ba kry thuso. And then mo di NGO re thusana ka di shelter. Okay. Sheltering ke mo leng gore kry le gore emergency cases ya fitlhagala motho wa reporta gore ke a bethiwa ke mo mathateng, then ke mo re referang di-client tsa rena ko di-sheltering. But through the SAPS, SAPS ke yone to mo movang. Le se rena re mo Pretoria, motho o ko Cape Town. Then re founela SAPS ya Cape Town, then to go to the area and ba pick up a client wa Mishiko sheltering, because the shelter does not allow our client ba tle bona physical, because they will end up by informing the community ka the address ya the sheltering, and then re nyaka the safety ya bona nkere. And then the other thing ke gore he rena le di case tsa GBV o kra le gore di client di re a utlwa la re cancela mo di founung, re nyaka face to face. Then we refer them go social development provincial across the country, yes, South Africa. Then re ba romela, then we do the follow up with client tsa rena re check gore a le krele thuso na. Then if aba kira re founela DSD client rena sa re mala report ka date ya gore then client ira ise kire thuso, or re checka le mapodisa re a checka after 30 minutes gore did they assist the emergency cases if it killing go bona re reporta na. And then re encourage the community hore nomore ya rena e ba e butisang hore le ka e berekisa ke 0800-428-428. Number eo ya bereka le phone le ntlo kra di social worker di tlo thusa boshule mosehare. Ke a leboga.
Okay, thank you Mepaladi. And Mentabi saying, how does the Department of Social Development cooperate with NPOs such as SANEC and other civil society organizations and the private sector to cull the scourge of HIV infections and that of GBV? if you can maybe a little bit further for Rena than Mepaladi just explained.
Okay. Good evening, listeners and everyone in the studio, also my colleagues. Wabuangin Tabiseng Mashaba. I'm a social worker at the Gender-Based Violence Command Center. With the programs that we run with, together we can do more.
Yes.
And we can go far.
Yes.
So by having multidisciplinary teams within all these departments, it also assists in dealing with the scourge of the gender-based violence. Firstly, the other thing that we do is by doing outreach programs. When we talk about outreach programs, we talk about wherein as departments, we invite each other like SAPS, Department of Health, and also other departments that I didn't mention, wherein we go out in the communities and we talk about the GBV. As my colleague has already said on the statement of, in an African way of doing things,
mm-hmm.
the patriarchy, it's very disturbing in our society,
mm-hmm.
and we are trying to also engage men,
yes.
males, so that they can be able to assist us, because for them, when we talk about 16 days of activism, mm-hmm. they think that we are talking about women and children, and it's not about women and children.
Mm.
We are involving everyone,
mm.
because this thing is a pandemic.
Mm.
It's affecting everyone. Remember that also a man can also be abused.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for them, they take it that and when you look at it, it's coming from way back,
mm-hmm.
wherein women and children are categorized as the vulnerable groups.
Mm.
But yet they forget that in the previous years, men used to have so much power,
mm-hmm.
over women.
Mm-hmm.
Hence, when they preach gender-based violence, they are talking about women and children, but mm. it's actually involving everyone.
Mm.
So by us going to our societies, we also involve men,
mm-hmm.
that let's come together,
mm-hmm.
let's deal with this discussion, because at the end of the day, we are one.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do it alone.
Mm-hmm.
And when we do it as a community, we can end this thing of gender-based violence.
And when you go into communities, because I can imagine that, yeah. you would come and you would face maybe Ndate Moholo,
exactly.
or such. Mm. Do you find that there's resistance from them, that they don't want to hear what you're saying, or they just discard what you're saying? Do you find resistance?
In all honesty, even at the command center itself, when a male calls and say, I need help because I'm a perpetrator, the minute you start with the process of counseling,
mm-hmm.
The response that you get, it's so disturbing. Mm. I don't wanna lie. And even when you go to those communities and you try to engage them, the first thing is, you are a woman, you are a social worker.
Mm.
That's why you are going to talk about this. You don't want to understand us males and all that.
Mm.
But you see now, when you receive information, the minute you also try to protect yourself or you become defensive, that's where the problem becomes. Because whatever that's going to come afterwards, you're not going to listen to anything. And that's disturbing in our society.
But do you think that our society is able to change or is willing to change?
I think with young males, in all honesty, I think there is change.
Mm-hmm.
But with adult males going to, I see a problem, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
It's a problem for us as social workers dealing with gender-based violence.
Okay.
And we wish they can be involved. We wish they can understand why we are trying to fight this thing of GBV.
Okay, thank you so much, Ausin Tabi Singh. Well, we are talking about the correlation between HIV/AIDS infections and gender-based violence. And on the panel today, we have Steve Litsike, Celeste Madondo from SANEC, as well as Ms. Peladi Mamaila and Ntabiseng Mashaba from the Department of Social Development. We actually have Patko on the line from Elugu. Patko, you go ahead with your question.
Mnaleni kunjani?
Siyaphila wena?
Ngiyaphila mama, ndifuna ndilaphe alwa nosetakalani radio.
Yes.
Okay mama, into yenzekayo ndinemibuzo ne.
Mhm.
Question yami yokuqala, ndifuna ukuqonda apha kwi guests zakho ne. They are active during first day ka December. During the course of the year, they are not active. Ingaba kutheni besenza njalo? That's the question yami yokuqala leyo. And then equation yamisini EP. Zithini programs zabo, because since the situation of Bano, they commemorate everyone, including the sex workers. What about the LGBTQI one? Bona ingathi each and every time they don't involve with the program is equation and ninja. Equation yamisini. Then the Vilma Mapayani Tetangento ye GBV. Each GBV yenzeka especially Queen Dalksagens or Guzo. But when he report wa, upaso phethe okanye umuntu ophethe isikhulu akayithathele ntoko endapha la mntu ibayi-victim ecommitta i-femicide or the suicide something like that. So ke ngokubathini ucebisa abantu in order ukuthi ezinto ezi zingenzeki. Ngiyabulela kakhulu, ngilapha eAlwa North eThakalani Radio.
Okay, enkosi Patko. We also have Mark on the line from KZN. Mark,
sawubona mhlakazi. I'm to greet you and your I'm listening to Radio Crazy on 90.5 and 107.7 FM. My question about this gender-based violence thing, it mustn't be like 16 days when it's December time, 16 days of activism against women and children. This thing has to continue daily basis, because you know women and children are getting killed and raped in this country. And other than that, when they go and report the incident by the police, the police said, no, you go back to your partner and sort the problem out. They chase the perpetrator away. And each when it happens again, they find that the perpetrator might be maybe dead or whatever, what happens. And I wish the government to extend the network, like the places like real areas, use the community radio station, especially like Radio Crazy, must be a daily basis show, to go there and teach abantu basemakhaya ukuthi if you have an incident like this, don't keep quiet, because some of them, the children talking kind of ways, it gets raped by the stepfather. And the mother said, no, you can't open up the case because my marriage will be destroyed. No, we can't accept it. So the government has to go to these people in the real areas, and especially like the urban towns where I'm in Pietermaritzburg, things like this happen. Children are getting raped and killed. So ugovernment manje afundise kakhulu ngale nto, nanokuthi uma umuntu esevula icala, umuntu odlwengulule nehlungu nohlukumeza omunye ngokucansi, aboshwe iminyaka ahlale ejele, ngoba le nto iyahlukumeza kakhulu. Abantu besifazane kumele sibanakekele ney'ngane, because bayinsika yezwe lethu.
Thank you so much, Mark. Thank you so much, Mark. Mark with a very strong message there. Don't keep quiet. Well, on Patko's first question, Celeste, Patko says that we're always there on the 1st of December, but after that, there's nothing. What are some of the programs that SANEC has?
Thank you. So it's not only on the 1st of December. And as we highlighted at the beginning through Steve, she mentioned that we want to continue commemorating our 1st of December. But, you know, back to the question, throughout the year, there are various, yes, there's a health calendar that is being followed. And from the SANEC perspective, we are a coordinating body that works with multiple stakeholders, including government, private sector, civil society, including our development agencies, which then supports initiatives that happens on the ground. Throughout the year, there are different mechanisms in which we do provide services, or in which services are provided. Recently, there was the Men's Parliament that also focused on the interlinkages between gender-based violence and how can men in society fulfill their role by not being perpetrators. You know, how do they flip the script? We are also doing it through stronger integration of services, both health and social services, through our sexual and reproductive health services. So when you go for voluntary male circumcision, these are some of the conversations that are continuing even at those platforms. When we think of it in a school setting, it is even taught through scripted lesson plans, through our comprehensive sexuality education programs. So from a society perspective, when we look at faith-based organizations and even in churches, at your local tavern, at various platforms, there is messaging, it's being spoken about on a on a daily basis through various platforms. I think the challenge is sometimes we don't connect the dots and say, but this is actually what we're talking about.
Okay.
But when you look at it broadly, people are speaking about it and it is being addressed through different programs.
Mm-hmm.
But we know that all partners don't maybe implement everything, the entire cocktail.
Mm-hmm.
But we know our referral pathways, there's strong collaboration with partners on the ground through various platforms to ensure that the initiatives and programs that do happen across the country, we infiltrate the message, regardless of what the entry point was for that specific individual.
Thank you, Celeste. Now, Steve, what about the LGBTQI plus community? Is it being integrated into these messages, Steve?
Indeed. You know, in fact, South Africa became the first country about 5 years ago when it launched the first HIV strategy on an LGBTI community. And this is responding to the HIV epidemic. And why LGBTI as opposed to just the language that is used around men who have sex with men only and so forth was to actually acknowledge some of the vulnerabilities that actually puts LGBTI people at risk in contracting HIV, because you would understand this is not only just the biological and behavioral vulnerability. You have to understand what are the social and structural issues. The more we see the more we see discrimination, it will always put LGBTI right at the end of receiving the services. 21% of LGBTI people are still turned away from health services, which then means that the health-seeking behavior changes. People fear going to the facilities because they are discriminated, they are outed, you know. So the kind of services that are there should not be discriminative, because we are a country with a very clear constitution that actually is celebrated globally that says nobody should be discriminated on the basis of their sexual orientation, gender identity or sex. And now why have we actually gotten to a stand where homophobia and transphobia would thrive where services are of concern? Why are we leaving people behind, whereas LGBTI people are not second-class citizens? We've seen it with hate crimes. I mean, gender-based violence is epidemic in South Africa, and we've seen hate crimes. It is why we have DSD, we have social justice department, and many other departments, including Department of Basic Education, now that are putting strategies and plans to say, we are not going to be a country that is in war with itself.
Yeah.
Let us be very clear. Every person in this country shall be protected by virtue of being human, and nobody is of the second standard.
Thank you, Steve. Now, Patko also threw in a very important question, I think. GBV in the workplace, Mepeladi, how do we deal with that GBV? Where would one go if you're in the workplace and you're experiencing GBV, maybe from your boss or your supervisor? Where would they go?
Okay, thank you, Neil.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the workplace, there are protocols that you need to follow.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can call the command center.
Mm-hmm.
The command center is going to provide you all the counseling or to maintain the emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you follow the protocol at the workplace, you'll report to your seniors. And if you are not attended, you can report it to SAPS, even to us. Then we will facilitate the we will communicate with SAPS so that your case is attended to.
Okay, now we have a question on the WhatsApp line. Good day, Neo and guests. If the ribbon should be rocked to the fullest, why should hospitals do away when should hospitals do away with turning away terminally ill patients with reasons that they have not, that they have defaulted? Steve, I think I'll throw this one to you. Are patients being turned away, terminally ill patients being turned away from hospitals because they are defaulting on their medication, Steve? Steve?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Now, we have seemingly hit a rock when it comes to our health system. That the challenges, and now, I mean, you have to understand, we have lost over 34% of people on treatment during COVID. You know, so default is not just a kind of an automatic easy. And I don't think we must take it lightly, because also taking treatment, lifelong treatment, can be exhausting. And people have what we call treatment fatigue. People have got what we call treatment disruption because of issues at home and so forth. So we have hit a challenge when it comes to our health system, where attitudes and challenges of that nature are becoming a problem. That is not supposed to happen when you come across people who have defaulted. In fact, as a healthcare provider, as a health professional, it is your duty to actually work with a patient and say, let us work together and get you back on treatment. And it is those kind of challenges. Now, luckily, the work that is done by people living with HIV and many other sectors are monitoring facilities. People, when they are turned away, they report human rights violation, because nobody should be turned away from a health facility. So we really must encourage people to report this kind of unacceptable behavior in facilities, even if the system is overburdened. But those kind of behaviors are not acceptable, because we are in the business of saving lives. Nobody should be turned away. Treatment is important. Anybody who defaults should be assisted to get back, because remember, we're trying to reduce, and in fact, we are trying to suppress the viral load. Anybody who's not on treatment, we know, is actually going to take longer for their viral load to be suppressed, which then means they are actually prone to actually even spread new infections that we are seeing over time.
Thank you, Steve. Now, you can continue to join us on the discussion by sending your questions on our WhatsApp line. That is 065-935-5488, 065-935-5488, or calling to the studio on 0800-142-466, 0800-142-466. Now, we are currently also commemorating 16 days of activism against gender-based violence. Could you please unpack for us the role that the Department of Social Development has in making sure that these days don't go unnoticed? Mepelat.
Okay, Kialeboha. Now, 16 Days of Activism is an awareness campaign, is a worldwide campaign that is rendered by the all department to oppose violence against women and in Lebana, the community are near LGBTQ plus. And then it is rendered from the 16 days. It is rendered from the 25th until the 10th of December. But now, because Rebona, this sketch of GBV is very high, then we do it the whole year, where we target and the hotspot areas across the country. There are various hotspots that the department have identified that there are high rate of GBV quoting. Then Riakoteng, we go there and educate our community. We have men's talk where they educate men about the GBV. We have the community awareness, or where we educate our community that GBV is not a scourge for the department or other the stakeholders. Is a sketch for everyone who is staying in South Africa. Because if re ka surute batho ba rena gore GBV ke eng, ba tlo nna ba tshabela ko department eng re o nyaka thuso. Then le bona ha re ba educate ba be le knowledge, ba rute ba bangwe, re ruta le di traditional healer, re ruta le di tribal authority gore o kra ko mahaeng ba re a makhotleng. Do solve your kuma kutlenga fika kwa kane ke motho wa mme wa gateliwa. Then let's educate bona batho ba ba kuma kutleng bao re ba botse gore GBV it affect bo botle ba ba lenteng le bona. They must be part and parcel ya the task team tse di lenteng mo South Africa across the country, because if re ka se ba educate ka 16 days a then hora re bo sala ba ntse ba hatella bana ba bona re ntse re re ka mkhosetsi na bolela gore ka mongwe ke authority but bana le powers ba bontate bana le di powers gore re ka se motlwelle ke mme ha re utlwelle bo mme ha re beng joint venture re thusane ka go thusana ka this schedule ya GBV because it letse lefase ka bophara and he re ka se utlwane le ra ranna joint venture ha ona ntho re tle ikhona because otlo nna re blame na rokeng le bontate nka le bona ba experience that this GBV but mahong o kra ba chaba ho report then we are here to call them or please let's report GBV if you are experiencing it report it to the command center to the police office everywhere where there is a service you can get assistance go there and get assistance
ya no mepeladi you mentioned something so important ka batho ba rona ba badulang ko ko magaeng
yes
it's so important because bona they don't have access to information ja ka rona rena le tsona do you go as a department lo ya go teng ko magaeng lo re ke sena GBV ke yena go etsa gala byana when it's like this o etsang wa ba bolela la ba bolela
yes that from this year ho ntse re lebere ka byana ka GBV the country to tsotlhetse di le mo South Africa I think department it managed to go di attend gore all the tribal authorities re fitlile go bona re ba educate gore kana GBV is alive then GBV as gore he itlhahela ngwana ka mola wena yo affect ya o affect as mahisana tshwantse we report re aya hona go mahayeng go bolimpopo go tlase kwa re aya ra ba educator ka GBV gore GBV e teng bathong ha re thusaneng ka yona ha re skira tshepa gore kana mapodisa o kira go mahaye mapodisa a go khole
eh that is true
yes o tsiya sebaka go fitla go mapodiseng then re ba educator gore then ka mkhoba ka re kreang ka ha ba founele 800-428-428 then rena will con rutla google mo system ya rena ra lebella gore which nearest police station can assist these people I'm telling you ke kopola hona le case ngo ya ko skinote we attended it was during the night I reporter ke ngwana a le ko Joburg gore mmaka o mo mathateng ko skinote kwa ra founelana they attended it the police they go there and attend they even give us the feedback and we were doing the follow up with them hore did you manage to go there and anybody attend hona ko mahayeng ko buski not ke mahayeng ka bona then but we encourage our community hore if le bona gore di mapodisi ha le a fitlhele using this GPV command center ibe tselana ya lena ya go fitlhela mapodisi ke tsebo rena ha re tlo bua le bona ba tlo attend yes ke
so very important message even if you are living in a tribal area in a traditional place or in a rural area you are able to get hold of the GBV command center on 0800-428-428 and they will assist you they will send the police to go and assist you in your home thank you so much for that Mepeladi for reminding us of that and then as Steve I'm also going to throw that question towards you We're celebrating or commemorating rather 16 days of activism. What is the role of SANEC in ensuring that these days don't go unnoticed? And if I may add a second question to that, Steve, do we find that members of the LGBTQI community are coming forward to speak about gender-based violence rather in their relationships, Steve?
You know. The issue of gender-based violence is a serious one. As I had indicated, President had launched this and actually declared that we have an epidemic in South Africa. Now, the role of SANEC, you'd remember we've got our national strategic plan, and part of the national strategic plan has got goals and strategies that speaks about addressing social and structural challenges such as gender-based violence and hate crimes. Because what we have already said as SANEC, gender-based violence is a driver of the epidemic, you know, because people being raped, people being sexually assaulted, the very same issues we have around adolescent girls and young women. I mean, right now, you saw Department of Basic Education even launching a teenage pregnancy management policy. I mean, it is unacceptable that in our communities, 10-year-olds are giving birth. Mm. Nah. in, our law says that anybody who's below the ages of 16 and who's somebody who's taking advantage of any child who's older and taking advantage of a child who's below the age of, it's statutory rape. Now we actually have to say, where are these perpetrators? Why are we not bringing them to book? Because they not only are they abusing and they are rapists, they are also spreading HIV, they are spreading sexual transmitted infections, they are impregnating our children, and it's unacceptable. So as community, we can't be bystanders. Now the other issue then becomes whether LGBTI people are addressing a violence in their communities, but also LGBTI intimate partner violence. Currently the statistics has revealed 88% of LGBTI people do not report violence against them, because they still fear secondary victimization. They still fear a lot of challenges of being mistreated. You know, a gay person who's coming in, or a transgender person coming in, and they will be told, oh, but I can't go back to Mushimani. You want to be a boy, why don't you fight back? Or you want to be a girl. You know, those kind of things that are stigmatization, that are stereotypes, that are perpetuating even secondary victimization. Now, the other aspect that you've raised is the issue of intimate partner violence. This is something that is very problematic in the community. In fact, in South Africa, generally, intimate partner violence is massively big problem. It doesn't only affect heterosexual, it also affects LGBTI people. Up to about 45% of violence, intimate partner violence, is also experienced within the LGBTI community. Now, what we've always consistently said, you see, violence is violence and it's criminal, and it must be treated as such. Whether somebody is gay, or whether somebody is heterosexual, or whether somebody is transgender, if you're going to be raising a hand against somebody else's child, or against somebody else, you must be treated as a criminal. And all this should not be entertained. It doesn't matter if I'm lesbian and I'm abusive, I must be arrested and face the might element of the law. We cannot tolerate violence. And it's unfortunate that even within the LGBTI community, they don't come out and say that my partner abuses me, because they also would say, but Lebasadi by it lead too, or Lebanna lead too. You know, those kind of things. And, and we need to actually unpack and educate people and learn things, that some things are not tolerable, no matter whether you are in the same-sex practicing relationship or whether you are in a heterosexual relationship.
Celeste, we've talked about messages that are going through to communities. Are they effective? Are these messages effective? Can we see change in terms of both HIV messaging and GBV, anti-GBV messaging?
So, messaging has proven to be an effective tool to share knowledge, but access to messaging is where the challenge remains. There are various platforms in which messaging is being shared, but we have to note that we are not as robust or as contextual or as, you know, nuanced as we should be with our messaging. So we know that receiving a message 7 times in different forms can change, or has the likelihood of you buying something or to change your behavior. But access to it, you know, we people lack opportunities because of access to certain things, and access to information is a key element. The last HSRC survey did show that we still have low levels of HIV knowledge, you know, among, especially among young people. And the same for where to access services for GBV. What are your rights? How do you know you are being abused? Just the basics of you are actually being abused, or you are actually vulnerable. A lot of people don't even know that because there is not as much information going around as we should. I think we can do more. I think we should do more. The same way we did during COVID, everyone knew what COVID, if you ask anyone, and I feel that if, as a country, we need to re-emphasize messaging. It came up as we are developing, currently SANEC is busy developing the new National Strategic Plan on HIV, TB and STIs. And one of the key element that came or theme that emerged across all the consultations that we held across the country is the need for messaging. You know, in one province, they even said we need to use the Bible approach or the you know, to preach, the preaching approach to say the same message over and over. But the point was we need more messaging. We need it in different formats. We need it in different on different platforms in order for us to know our rights, have access to services, but most importantly, have access to information, understand what that information means in order for us to make more informed decisions.
Is it surprising to you at all as SANEC that there's such a lack of HIV knowledge, considering that we're one of the countries with the highest infection rates infection rates in the world?
So it's not surprising, when, especially when we look at the HIV prevention in general, the funding for HIV prevention has reduced over the years significantly.
Mm-hmm.
And as a country, yes, we are doing well on various platforms. But we also note that messaging or IEC is a prevention tool.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't invest in that, unfortunately, we won't reap, as one of the tools for prevention, we won't reap the benefits thereof.
We have a question on the WhatsApp line. I was given pills at the clinic to prevent TB, but when I take them, I start coughing. Should I continue or stop taking the medication? I will throw that to Steve, because we were talking just now about medication defaulting. What would your answer be to the question, Steve? Hello, Steve?
Can you repeat that?
The question was, I was given pills at the clinic to prevent TB, but when I take them, I start coughing. Should I continue or stop taking the medication? Steve?
Look, I think it's very important that people get the correct information about the treatment that they are taking.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, TB has a different medication versus HIV, because it's ARV, right?
Mm-hmm.
And depending on the type of TB that you have, that will also determine what medication you would need. So if at all you are developing additional symptoms that are giving you problems, go back to the clinic and saying, I'm developing this. They will take more tests and they will then tell you what the problem is. Because sometimes people present with ordinary TB, or they may be presenting with TB symptoms, but yet they may have what they call multi-drug resistance and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes even with TB, TB can be cured. But people take treatment and they take it for short 3 months and they think, I'm okay, I'm healthy, and then they leave the treatment. You must finish the course. It's like antibiotics. Mm-hmm. You must finish the course, because that's how you cure TB. Now, the biggest issue is that you must go back, get more information to say, this is what is happening, these are more symptoms, and the medical professional will guide you accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get the right treatment, we need to get the right test, and if you're developing, they will then tell you what the problem is.
Mm. Thank you, Steve. We are talking about HIV in society and its connection to gender-based violence. And on our panel today is Steve Litsike and Celeste Madondo from SANEC, as well as Peladi Mamaila and Ms. Ntabiseng Mashaba, rather, from the Department of Social Development. Now, as we wrap up the show, how are government departments working together to spread the message of zero HIV infections, zero discrimination, and zero AIDS-related deaths, and an end to GBVF? Celeste?
Great. Thanks. So As SANEC, as previously mentioned, we do work with various stakeholders across government, private sector, as well as civil society.
Mm-hmm.
And importantly, in order for us to address GBV as well as HIV, TB and STIs, we need a multi-sectoral approach in doing that and in tackling these colliding epidemics. With the development of the new NSP, that it will be the focus of our for the next 5 years towards Agenda 2030,
mm-hmm.
SANEC is emphasizing on ensuring that we have an inequalities lens as we are programming.
Mm-hmm.
We focus on, and TSD did mention that we need community-based and community-led interventions because it is a community or societal issue.
Mm-hmm.
And our focus and programming will should be prioritizing such to end discrimination and stigmatization that continue to persist specifically among our key and vulnerable population,
mm-hmm.
that hamper access to services and treatment on time.
Mm-hmm.
But by doing so, what we are also emphasizing is how do we better coordinate the multi-sectoral response in addressing and preventing the interlinkages that are also often with additional other barriers such as our low socioeconomic status,
mm-hmm.
the poverty levels that we see in the country,
mm-hmm.
unemployment, and substance abuse, alcohol and drug,
mm-hmm.
drug use that also further contribute to HIV and gender-based violence concurrently.
Mm-hmm.
So we are emphasizing on folk as a country continue to focusing or to reinvigorate our response by focusing on programs that keep girls in school,
mm-hmm.
That tackle GBV,
mm-hmm.
that support women and youth-led organizations,
mm-hmm.
that support people living with HIV and particularly children,
mm-hmm.
And having differentiated service delivery models,
mm-hmm.
That seek to address them at their point of need through various programs and interventions that we are implementing. And only then can we, end the HIV epidemic that is also fueling GBV.
Mm-hmm. And Mepela, I was interviewing.
Yes.
I imagine that the Department of Social Development is working with other departments in connection with GBV and HIV AIDS. What are some of those departments?
Okay, currently, we also, Department of Social Development is also having a conversation or an agreement with the Department of Public Works.
Mm-hmm.
Because in South Africa, we lack shelters where they accommodate males,
mm-hmm.
Especially for the gender-based violence.
Mm-hmm.
So also those buildings for public works that are not operating at the moment, they are turning them into shelters that will also accommodate males. And we feel like it's a very important initiative from the Department of Public Works,
mm-hmm.
because we are really struggling to get shelters that would accommodate males.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, GBV, it affects everyone,
mm-hmm.
not only children and not only women.
Mm-hmm.
And also our minister and the deputy minister, they also have what we call, they actually go to communities. The program is called District Development Model,
mm-hmm.
wherein they go to those rural areas,
mm-hmm.
where they involve traditional leaders, they involve all these stakeholders to engage and talk about this thing of gender-based violence.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you said in the beginning, those rural areas, they also lack information.
Mm-hmm.
So us going there, it assists a lot because people in urban areas, they most often they do have information,
mm-hmm.
but rural areas, they are struggling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I suppose that would also speak to what you were raising, Celeste, that people lack information,
mm-hmm.
even though there's so much information going around. But we do have a voice note on WhatsApp.
Umkhwanazi lo empangeni ngithi mina ay yabona iCovid le ibikhona ekhona iphazamiseka kakhulu abantu abakwi chronic kakhulu abadla ama ARVs bagcine bengasakwazi ukuthi balanda amaphilisi abanye ba defaulta kakhulu mhlambe ke uhulumeni ingathi bese khohliwe kakhulu indaba ye AIDS nezinye isibe ngama chronic wanaka kakhulu ke i COVID lokuthi ikhona sithemba ukuthi njengoba ke isithanda unciphe uhulumeni sizokwazi ukuthi abuyele kuyona siyafisa nangelinye ilanga ukuthi uhulumeni angakhohlwa abantu baka chronic uma ke kukhona isifo esifikayo ngenxa kubonakala ngathi bese khohliwe kakhulu sibona abantu be default abangena ama TB nezinye izifo eziningi nje eziqhamukile efana noshukela ngenxa yokuthi ke bese ikhohliwe sokunakwe kakhulu i COVID umbono wami lona kamkhona sempangeni.
Steve, I think I'll throw this one to you. Did COVID have an impact on the defaulting of medications, HIV related medications, Steve?
Well, indeed, we saw some serious setbacks during COVID breakup. We had a lot of people who defaulted from treatment. Remember, hospitals were closed. You know, people were kept out. But remember also what government did together with the advisory from SANEC was to release a HIV, a TB and COVID integrated strategy during crisis. To actually say, while hospitals are closed, while clinics, you know, everybody's trying to make sense of how to deal and respond to COVID, let us not also put the burden on the other diseases that we are fighting, which is HIV. So the what we call the CCMD, which is the central distribution of medicine distribution here, that was integrated. People were linked to nearest pharmacies closer to them. People were linked to nearest NGOs. I mean, organizations completely, TB, HIV care, Access Chapter 2, many of them out, extended their hours of working so that people can get treatment. Yes, we saw a significant drop of people accessing treatment, not because treatment was not available, but people also lived with fear of contracting HIV. And also we would understand that we were trying to make sense of it. We were also trying to make what is the correlation between HIV and COVID. If I'm HIV positive, am I safe? If I'm an elderly person with a non-communicable disease like diabetes, am I safe? We knew, and our scientists in the country worked hard and shown there was some aspect of understanding on how to deal with it, even during that crisis. So yes, there was impact. Now, as SANEC, we are quite clear to say people who dropped out of treatment go back to treatment ASAP. We need people to go back so that we can continue saving lives and suppressing viral load. What we know, majority of men must go and access treatment. Test, know your status. If you're HIV positive, at least even now, the treatment is not as difficult with so many pills. You have fixed dose combination. That means you take one pill per day. And that's all we can do. And what we need to do, and this is also the question or the point you raised earlier, it is our responsibility as people to prevent, to treat, or get the correct treatment and access health services. If we do not have a better health-seeking behavior, we lose out. We cannot blame this on government. We also cannot blame this on other service providers if you don't stand up. Similarly with how we respond to gender-based violence, we can't blame government for gender-based violence. Violence, homophobia, violence against women, against children, it's in our homes. It's in our neighborhoods. So we as people must rise to prevent it, to end it in society. Let us not be bystanders of our own lives and our own successes.
Mepeladi, a question from one of our listeners. The traditional practice of ukthwala, how do we deal with it in the context of GBV? Because we know children, young girls are being taken as wives of older men. That is GBV. Mm-hmm. If we don't know what GBV is, that is it. How do we deal with it from a DSD perspective? Where does a mother go to if their child has been taken and made a wife of an older gentleman in a traditional setting?
Yeah. The other thing that I want to emphasize to the community, the other uktwala is a serious crime because re hapeletsa bana ba rena go dira ntho e ba sa e batleng e leng gore ga ba e dumelane because o fitlhela e le the agreement between the parents mong re lebeletse gore ka nako ga mme mokete ore ga rre mokete ba na le madi re tla tshela ga ba ka tseya ngwana wa ka o a yo nna ko teng ba ya nna ka mokgwa wa itlhaloganye but re emphasize gore ga re lebeleng ditokelo tsa bana le bona ba na le maikutlo ga e be the decision e diragalang between batsadi le bana ge ngwana a sa e batle ga re se ke re gapeletsa ngwana and then ntho nngwe e leng gore ba ka e reporta re na le di-office tse ngata tsa di-social worker across the country re na le di-NGO re na le di-department of social development mo di-provinceng re na le SAPS mo e leng gore case tse bane di ka reportiwa re na le command center mo le gore le ba ka e reporta nako e nngwe le e nngwe but ke kopela gore batsadi ga re se ke re gapeletsa bana ba rena go dira ntho e ba sa e batleng ga re tloeleng bana ba rena development ya bona e tsamaye ka boiketlo se ke ra lebelela gore ko ga mamokete re tlo tshela and-e ga batlile gore rena ka maga e tlala ga e sa tlo ba teng kane ole ore bana le lefa ko bo bona re tlo phela ga re tloeleng bana ba rena ba gole ka boiketlo kana ke ntho e re tshwanetse di encouraging community kane mo tabeng ya go ithwala ke batsadi ba rena ba ba dirang agreement they agree with the ba lebeletse ntate o mogolo wa ka mo next door a tlo nyala ngwana o monnye then ga re bueng re encouraging community gore ga ntho eo re tloeleng bana ba rena ba gole ka boiketlo leboga.
Strong words there from Me Peladi from the Department of Social Development. We were having a conversation about the correlation between HIV and gender-based violence in society. Now, some of the words that have been coming out today are very strong. Please, if you have a gender-based violence situation that you are facing, call the GBV Command Hotline on 0800-428-428. That's 0800-428-428. We were also joined on the panel by Steve Litsike, Celeste Madondo, and Mayor Ntabiseng Mashaba. Thank you very much to you all for joining us. Now, that is the end of our show for tonight. Thank you, listeners, for joining us for the special broadcast brought to you by the GCIS, together with the SA National AIDS Council and the Department of Social Development. A big thank you to our technical team for tonight, Musoto Stone and Fenki Matimela. My name is Neo Budumela. Good evening to you all.